scepter of the earth, it would not hear the voice of David, and Father would not hear the same glory and honor to thee. Father, we ask that you bless each of our membership. Father, whatever various needs exist, that you would provide. Father, we ask that you also bless those on the church prayer list. Father, I see with our sister churches, their missionaries. Father, just help us, Lord, and guide and direct in all things. Amen. We give thee praise, we give thee thanks. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to church. We hope you've had a blessed week. I hope you got our newsletter this week. Article by me, one by A.W. Tozar. I hope you read those in your leisure, and I hope you enjoy them. If you will turn your Bibles again to Hebrews chapter 10, by the time I'm done with this message, we'll probably have this passage memorized. But that's okay. We need to memorize it. It's hard to preach this message and not go back to this text because this text is what it's about. And I got up about 4 this morning. Me and my wife both did. And I started studying and putting this, some more of this together. And the more I study it, the deeper I get, and deeper I get, the more I add to it. So that's okay. It's a wonderful message. As soon as I'm done with all this, I'll put it on our website. I have added a lot to our website. Audio sermons are all updated. Outlines are updated. Newsletters are updated. Everything's updated. So we're going to try to keep that updating going. Some reason Wednesday night my recording did not on Facebook. You couldn't hear no sound. Hopefully you can. I come over this morning and tested it. Worked out. So hopefully I just plugged in the wrong hole or something. I don't know. Or didn't get it plugged in good or something. I don't know. We'll see. Hebrews chapter 10, if you will. Verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect or complete. For them would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. It is not possible, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but the body hast thou prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volumes of the books written, a book that is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sacrificed, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sorry about the bumbling of reading, but that's what I do. We started this message last week. I thought we'd be done in a couple, 3 weeks. It looks like now it may be more like 50 or 100. No, it looks more like it'll probably be a few more weeks. That's okay. We're in no hurry because this is about our Savior. This is about His blood cleansing us from all sin. This is God's perfect Son. This is the Son that pleased God. And because this Son pleased God, we can also please God as His children. So we started out with an introduction, and then we got to our first point. Our first point was putting on the new man is called the perfecting of the saints. And we took that from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. When the Lord said perfecting of the saints, that is the word perfecting means a fitting or a preparing fully. The vines, that's the vine's definition. Strong says it is a complete furnishing. In this word perfecting, nothing is partial. Jesus Christ doesn't do anything for us partially. Everything Jesus Christ does is perfect, and it is complete in every form. We read an outline or a definition by Brother Oscar Mink, who is also on our website. I'm not going to go back and through and read all of that, so I want to get to our second point, and that's where we got to. And our second point is this: we are to look to Jesus, the only man to ever have pleased God. Jesus should be our everything in our life. Everything. When we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we should never look back to our sin, should we? Why would we ever look back to our sins? Jesus has cleansed them. We ask God continually to forgive our sins. But God's going to forgive our sins because Jesus took all of our sins to the cross with Him. Everything Jesus done was complete or perfected in satisfying our Father in heaven for our transgressions. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 5, the Lord said, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man." Who is it? The man, Christ Jesus. Only one. What is a mediator? A mediator is one that bridges the gap. As people on this earth, as lost sinners, we are in no way acceptable to God. There's nothing about us acceptable. So we need a mediator to bridge the gap between us and God. The sacrifices in the Old Testament wouldn't do it. No other sacrifice would ever do it. So God sent His only begotten Son to this world in the likeness of sinful flesh, just like us in a lot of ways, except He wasn't a sinner, to grow up amongst us, to be tempted like we are, but never giving in to temptation, doing what Adam and Eve could not do. They gave in to temptation. Mankind gave in to temptation, and because they did, we did. We are responsible for their sins because we were born sinners because of them. No person outside of Jesus Christ will ever be accepted in the Father. They'll never be intercepted into heaven. They'll all go to hell if they're not crossing through the mediator, Jesus Christ. His blood paid for our sins. His death, burial, resurrection paid for our redemption. He bought us and he paid for it. We're going to get into all this pretty soon. We need to put the bridge where it belongs. Now, Baptists are one of the few on this earth that believe that Jesus Christ is the mediator. And that Jesus Christ is our perfecting. But we are perfected in Christ. We live the law because Christ lived the law. Our sins have been paid for, therefore we no longer sin before God. We are not judged for our sins. We're judged for our disobedience to God and His Word. All our sins were paid for by Jesus and His blood. Our mediator. Bridging the gap between us and God. Anyone who doesn't accept that, anyone who doesn't believe that doesn't believe this word right here. And they're making God a liar. Because God said He is our mediator. Jesus Christ, and we're going to Philippians 2. Jesus Christ is the man anointed by God to be our Savior. Anyone know what Christ means? It means the anointed one. Christ is not His last name. He is actually Jesus. The Christ. The Son of the living God. The Bible calls Him Jesus Christ because He is Jesus the Christ. A lot of people look at Him and probably think His last name's Christ, but it isn't. Christ means He is the anointed. He was anointed by God to be here on this earth and to give His life and to shed His blood to be that bridge between us and God, making it possible for us to go into the Holy of Holies, to cause us to go into God's holy place and to stand before our holy God and to stand and before and with our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, for all eternity, as children of God. So much so that God called us joint heirs with Jesus, telling us just how much of a child of God we truly are. If you go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, we read these words. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of the things in heaven, of the things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, or God the Father. So it is He, Jesus, that God has highly exalted above everything else. The Son of Man. The Son of God's already exalted, isn't He? But the Son of Man was exalted above all other people, above all other creatures, to be the Son of the living God, and placed Him on a throne at the right hand of God, the Son of Man, still in His body, His new glorified body, I believe was still with the markings of the crucifixion. Just as He rose from the grave, remember, and he still had the crucifixion marks on him. That's how they recognized him. We will see those marks when we stand with him in the kingdom of God. As God's children, as joint heirs with the Son of Man for all eternity. To him who God has given all authority and all power to judge every creature as he sees fit. For those that are saved and those that are not saved, he will judge both. Not at the same time, but he will judge both in due time. But this make sure of. Those that hate God, those that hate Jesus, will one day bow before Jesus Christ and confess that he is God. Confess that he is the Son of God. Confess that they missed the Savior. Doesn't matter how religious they are. Doesn't matter what they've done on this earth. It's because they did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will tell them, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." He knew them not as his sons, not as his children, not as Christians that's in him. He knows who that we are. He knows who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows who's going to get into heaven, who isn't going to get into heaven. Romans 14, if you will. My daughter, Gina, who lives up around the south of Dallas, around Ennis, doesn't have church to go to. So they've been going to some Northside church up there, Baptist church up there somewhere, but it's Armenian. It doesn't talk of grace because Kelly's church is like 70, 80 miles away. So for her to work the way she does and drive up there, I guess doesn't make sense for her. She's hoping they'll get closer. Kirk hasn't been saved long. He's been saved just a while. And she keeps telling this preacher that he needs to quit asking people to make a decision for Christ. And they thought about getting Kirk baptized. I told her it was a waste of time if it did. And said, but you can't say that he made his decision. The pastor wouldn't do it. Thank God. I appreciate that. I do. I don't want him. I told her, I said, do not let him baptize him. I said, bring him to his county, take him over to Kelly's. One of us will baptize him. She said, I think he's fitting to ask us to leave. I said, well, he probably will. Armenians hate God. They hate the sovereignty of God. They really do. They hate the sovereignty of God. They'll learn one day, won't they? They'll understand one day, won't they? If people reject him, that is Jesus Christ, if they do not see him here on this earth in this life, one day they will. Their resurrection will be to brought up out of hell, stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment, be judged, and then put into their proper degree of hell. You say, how do you know the degrees of hell? Because Satan and his angels are in the hottest part. If there's the hottest part, there's part that isn't so hot. Excuse me, my allergies really bother me. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11, Paul wrote here, for it is written, which means it's written before, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. We already have, haven't we? You bow to the Lord Jesus Christ when you accepted him. I asked my father-in-law one time, Brother Horace Hammond, who was my mentor. I said, I read the account of Paul's salvation in Romans 9. a lot. I read it over and over and over, trying to figure out where Paul was actually saved at. He said, "You're missing it, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." He said, when he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" He admitted and bowed before the Lord and confessed him to be Lord and asked what he wanted him, Paul, to do. That's what we did, isn't it? I had to have it clarified to me as a young preacher, and he did. The Saul of Tarsus would never have done that, would he? He hated Jesus. He hated the church. All Jews do. If Jews are not saved, they hate Jesus Christ. They hate the Lord's churches. First John chapter 4. But Paul was changed, wasn't he? He told Jesus, he said, "Lord," which recognized him as master, "what will you have me to do? Give me my job now." Isn't that wonderful? That's what we say, isn't it? "Lord," we sang the song a while ago, "Breathe on Me." A lot of people may not understand that, but we want the Holy Spirit, who is a breath. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's a breath. And don't get into this Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit are the same thing. They're the same being. They're the same third part of the Trinity. Same one. "Breathe on me" means tell me what to do, Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, John wrote these words: "Hereby we know that we dwell in him." Do you hear that? We dwell in the Lord. "Hereby do we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit." We have the Spirit. We're not going to be full of the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We're already full of him. You have all of the Holy Spirit, all of the Holy Ghost God wants you to have inside of you. He doesn't partially come in. He comes in. Amen. He may give some of us a little more juice than he does others sometimes. My father-in-law preached for 50 years, and he would stand up. You heard him preach. A lot of y'all, most of y'all have, did when he was alive. He'd stand here and hardly ever move. Sometimes he'd back up, get a little loud, and then he'd come back and be quiet, calm down. That doesn't mean he had less the Holy Spirit than I do, or his brother did. Brother Charles, I met Charles one time. Charles would run all over the building. I mean, you'd have to put a wireless lapel mic on him if you wanted recording, because he might run down the aisle around and come back. That's just the way he preached. One's not more full of the Holy Ghost than the other. Both of them are full of the Holy Ghost. Just some of us get a little more excited and juiced up than others. That's all. But John said, "He gave us of a Spirit." Verse 14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." That's what we see, isn't it? You see that? I see that. Every one of us who's saved ought to see that. If we don't, shame on us. People want to run around and talk about their works. They want to say, "You old Baptists believe in this once saved, always saved." No, we don't. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. There's either eternally saved or not saved. That's it. If you're not eternally saved by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in you, then you're not saved. Period. They can phrase it, put it any way they want to. But I'm not always saved. I am eternally saved. And don't forget it. Now notice verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. That's where he started, wasn't it? Back in verse 13, hereby we know that we dwell in him and he's in us. But if we have Jesus, if we believe in Jesus, his Son, to be the Savior of the world, and we confess that, see what I was talking about? See, that's how Brother Hammond explained it to me. See? That confession, you're not saved because you made a confession. And Romans 10 is not saying if we confess with our mouth that we have to pray a prayer or something. There's no such thing as the Romans wrote, no such thing as a false sinner praying to God. Lost people don't pray to God, he doesn't hear them. Not even if we're praying for salvation, he doesn't hear them. He doesn't hear us until we go through Jesus. Think about that. Jesus is our mediator for love. Everything has to go through Jesus. I used to drive a truck back, and I was talking to Gina yesterday on text, and she asked me what I thought about the great John MacArthur. I don't know. I really don't listen to other preachers that much. It's, you know, if they're the big fancy preachers, I just don't. I may study them occasionally, like Warren Wiersbe or Wiest or somebody like that, John Gill, Spurgeon. But to me, they were just men used of God. But there's nothing special about them no more than they are about me. So I guess it's okay. But I heard him preach one day, him and I used to listen to him late night. I used to run from Sulphur Springs down to Houston. And going down through Palestine, Athens, Palestine, that area down there on 19, going toward Houston, I used to listen some nights to John MacArthur some and Chuck Swindoll. I used to listen to both of them, and both of them turned me off. Because both of them said, you don't truly have to pray through the name of Jesus. God hears your prayers anyway. I actually heard him say that. People have denied he ever said that. I'm telling you right now, my ears do not lie to me. I heard him say that. Both of them. Almost at the same night. And I said, that's one thing that turned me off about him. You can't pray to God without going through Jesus. It doesn't work. You can't do anything. Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is the bridge. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're not going to get to heaven. If you're not born again, born from above, you're not going to get to heaven. So the Lord told us here, and in verse 15, that we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. When Paul was saved in 9th chapter of Acts, that's what he did, wasn't it? He confessed Jesus when he recognized him as Lord, didn't he? That's what we do. We confess Jesus when we recognize him as Lord. You confess Jesus every time you pray. And you pray through the name of Jesus. And because of that, God dwells in us. You say, the Father's will dwell. No! The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three dwell in us. The Spirit of Jesus is in us. The Holy Spirit of God is in us. The Spirit of the Father is in us. Because they're one. They are a Trinity. And where you see one, you see them all. God does not separate. The Son of God did not lead the Trinity to come here. Although he was in the Son of Man, wasn't he? First John chapter 3, if you will. Go back one chapter. Isn't it going to be beautiful to see Jesus one day? You know, a lot of people don't think about it. And Ronnie used to teach on this a lot. On John 14. 1 through 6. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, Jesus wasn't just talking to his apostles and disciples that were with him. He was also talking to us. Jesus has went to prepare a place for us. Now, mansions, people want to say, oh my, I'm going to be rich. No, there's no richness in heaven. We're all rich in heaven. Because we're heirs of God. Don't. There's no such thing as poor people in heaven. We don't need houses made with nails and brick and stone with marble floors. We got streets made of gold, correct? We got a river that runs all the way through in front of the throne of God, all the way through. It's beautiful there. There's no cabins there. If you want to rent a cabin, go rent your cabin. You want to buy one, go buy one now because you're not going to get one in heaven. The word mansions, if you look it up, are spheres. There's areas. And Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a special area for y'all. Now you want to compare it to a mansion? It is going to be like one, isn't it, to us? Because it's going to be where Jesus wants us to be. Special. Just for us. Christians. And the stronger you are in the Word, the stronger you are in the Lord's churches, the stronger you are in walking with the Lord, the more prominent you will be. Think of those 12. Is it 12 or 24? I can't remember. Anyway, those thrones around the throne of God. It's 24, isn't it? I can't remember. They have crowns. Where'd they get them? Who's on those thrones? Elders. I believe that's people that have lived on this earth. And the crowns they have, they earn. We earn our crowns, don't we? Jesus earned his crowns, didn't he? As Son of Man. He has many crowns. And he earned them all. You know, when he died, they put a crown of thorn making him king. But he really is the king, isn't he? He really does have a crown. He has many crowns. And these elders, they cast their crowns before the throne of God all the time, don't they? Chanting how great God is. They are those. The closer you are with God, the closer you are with Jesus, the closer you are with the church, the more you walk in the Word of God, the more rewards and crowns you will have in the kingdom of God. God doesn't reward us with salvation. See, a lot of people want that God to, they want us to think that God they want us to think that God rewards us with salvation, but he doesn't. Why? How do you know that? Come on, preacher, tell me. because salvation is by grace. And grace isn't earned, it's given. God says salvation is a gift, doesn't he? If it's a gift and it's by grace, then it's not of works, is it? It's not earned. It's not by any kind of merit. Our rewards and crowns given to us for our stance and our walk in the Word of God. Read your article this week. Wrote about that, kind of. We got to walk. What, a lot of people, and I hate to get, I'm chasing a rabbit here. That's all right. I got 10 minutes. I'll chase this rabbit a minute. A lot of people think that just because they're saved, that's enough to reward them in the kingdom of God. But there's no rewards for people that do not walk in God's word. Remember, salvation is not a reward. It's a gift. You didn't earn it. It's given to you by grace. But if you read, it says that our works will be tried with fire, doesn't it? And some's going to be burned up, aren't they? And we're going to only have those that went through as precious stones, aren't we? Because so many people that claim to be Christians are failing in their study of God's Word to learn to walk in the Scriptures. That's what my article's about. They're failing to walk in the Scriptures. You're not as good a Christian as I am if you're not a member of one of the Lord's churches. And any old Armenian church doesn't work. The Lord has his churches, and they are pillars and ground of truth. And people that refuse, all these good, strong Christians out there that refuse to join one of the Lord's churches because they got some beef with the churches. So they decide it's just as good not to go to church at all. No, you're not as good as I am. You are in salvation, but you're not in works. The Lord says we are to be members of the Lord's church. The first command for a newborn Christian is to be baptized into the Lord's church by one of the Lord's churches. The authority was given to the apostles, the disciples of the first church at Jerusalem, when Jesus gave them the Great Commission, he gave them the authority to baptize. And if you haven't been baptized by one of the Lord's churches, you have wasted your time. So, people get mad at me if they want to. I don't care. I get very few likes on Facebook. And you know what? I'm happy. You know why I'm happy? Because the more likes you get, the less truth you're telling. It's okay. I don't care if anybody watches our video. It's not for everybody. It's for those that want to watch. I'm not begging people to watch. I'm not begging people to like. I'm begging people to study the Word of the living God and obey it. Am I perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. But we're in the Lord's house when it meets, aren't we? We're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, are we? Look at all the people that missed this message. I'm not bragging on my preaching. I probably hacked this thing to death. I'm telling you what, you listen to this message, You study this outline when I put it up on our website, and you will be blessed over and over and over again. If you're not, you're not saved. Let's finish up this point so we can get to point three, the third point, next week. Like I say, I'm in no hurry. None. So, whosoever confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. God dwells in her. God dwells in us. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit. Lead me. Tell me what you want me to do. You want me to go to the middle of Russia? I'll go up, I'll grab a jacket and go up there in that rat hole. But I'm okay right here where it's warm, okay? 1 John chapter 3, I think we've already... So we're going to see him as we truly are. He says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Truly is. Amen. I don't know what heaven's like. Do you? No. I know it's sweet. I know it's wonderful. I know it's full of glory. Because it's God's place, isn't it? There's no sin there. It's got to be wonderful, doesn't it? So our souls and our spirits have been redeemed. Next week we're going to get into this redeemed. I want to really study that. You're going to learn a lot from that study. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, aren't we? So our spirits have been made alive. Our souls have been redeemed. And one of these days, our bodies will be glorified. To what? Well, to look like Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? We're just like his son. Because we're in his son. We are his sons. We are his children. Go to Romans 8 and we'll end with that. So let all attention be on this man, the Son of God. Please look to Jesus for everything. He's your mediator. He's your sacrifice. Praise God, he's your sin barrier. Praise God, his blood was enough to cleanse us from all our sins. And praise God, his life was enough to redeem us.
Amen.
Make us white as snow. To make us be like unto him. People say, we're not like Jesus. Well, yes, we will be. We're not right now. My soul is. It's been cleansed, hasn't it? My spirit's living like his, isn't it? I'm just waiting on my body to be glorified and this old man to be dumped away from me, and I'll be like my Savior. Finish up with this scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Paul wrote, If children, then heirs. Heirs of what? Heirs of God. And joint heirs. Joint heirs with who? Joint heirs with Christ. They're not it. So if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified. What? What? What's that word? What is it? Together. Together with who? Together with each other and with him. Doesn't yet appear what we're going to be like, but this we do know, beloved, we're going to be like Jesus. Do you know that all of your sins have been paid for? When the Father looks at you, he sees no sin. He doesn't. He doesn't look at your sin. Any of them. He knows our frame. He knows what we are. He knows we're sinners. He knows we're going to sin. That's not an open ticket to go out and sin, is it? Just letting us know that when we do sin, don't lose yourself over it. Jesus already paid for it. Just ask God for forgiveness and move on. But your works, your life as a Christian, your life as a believer needs to be, your life as a church member needs to be, your life as one that brings glory and honor to your Father. Instead of acting like a Christian, instead of hoping you're a Christian, instead of thinking that you're a great Christian, maybe you go to church, join the church, get yourself baptized and join it, and start studying God's Word, being fed every time we meet, and start learning the truth that's there. And you know what will happen? You will be a whole lot better Christian than even you think you are now. Because Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross for your sins, for your redemption, for your justification. The just for the unjust. So that we could be like Jesus. And what did he say? You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You have to believe that he died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, and that his blood can cleanse you from your sins. And then what's next? To be buried in the likeness of his death in a watery grave and rose again to walk and a newness of life. Amen. Not acting like this world, not satisfying this world, not satisfying a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but God is who we satisfy. If we don't satisfy God, everybody else we satisfy is totally useless. Let's all stand. Justice is going to come.